Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
Here we are, 7th of April already.
Yep.
Headed toward tax time.
Ugh, hate that.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I talked to some people, especially the young people, and like, oh, I'm getting my tax.
The young people.
Yeah, yeah, the youngins. And they said, you know, I'm getting that tax refund. I'm like, oh, where's that come from? Oh, the government gives it to me. I'm like, no, what are you talking about? Yeah, the government, every year they give me a tax, you know, some money. I'm like, no, you put that money aside. You're not getting back any more money. It's not like they're giving you something. You just didn't put down the right amount of, you know, exclusions on your taxes.
Yeah, you should be getting nothing back from the government ever.
Exactly. But they think, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. I kind of have, on one side, it's, all right, it's a forced savings for some people, and they get that money. But then for other people, they just don't even understand.
I think that's most people.
Yeah. So I haven't gotten a tax, anything from the government in a long time.
I got a check for $12 or something a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's nice. A little gift.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. Mm. It's like somebody added something wrong, I think.
Well, there's big news. Employment report. I don't know if you saw that on Friday, but a total of 126,000 jobs were added to the payrolls.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not good. Very disappointing. Now, already, as soon as that came out, the weather excuse was just flying everywhere.
The weather.
Yeah, because it was, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was cold.
Yeah, it was cold and weather and all that. And you know, this happens a lot on Good Fridays when the Good Friday report, when Good Friday is the same day as the report. Thinking, how many more excuses can we come up with for anything? Oh, and the best, it's transitory. It's temporary. And this whole thing about everything being temporary, except for when it's good, it's permanent.
Yeah.
It's just, this is good, it's going on forever. But this bad number, no, that's just temporary. So what happened was that futures were open till 9:15 in the morning. Markets in the U.S. and Europe were closed because of Good Friday. And the futures took a nosedive, down about, 18, 19 points on the S&P 500 and about 150 or 160 on the Dow. That happened within the 45-minute span between 8:30 and 9:15. And, you go along, and then Sunday night at 6 p.m., the futures open up again, and they were down, 15, 16, something like that. So, you know, staying around where they were when they closed. Well, lo and behold, 9:30 in the morning, the dinner bell rings, and boom, markets turned around. We're up close to, about 0.75% yesterday. Why is that?
Yes, why?
I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Right attitude.
My best guess would be that everybody's believing that, we have this bad news. So those that are believing it's just temporary and weather-related, bought. Those that are saying, it's the Good Friday excuse, they said, that's the big deal. And then, of course, you have those people that say, this is actually good because the Fed is going to hold off raising interest rates for even longer now. So they bought. So it's kind of an excuse-driven buying spree.
Well, it's not like the thing is skyrocketing.
Came down a little bit today. Actually, it was an interesting day today on the heels of the move up yesterday. I mean, a pretty good turnaround from down 150 to up 150 on the Dow Jones. That's a pretty good turn. There was some more buying that went on today, even though we're continuing to see slightly weaker numbers across the board in terms of economics. And then at the end of the day, it just went kerplunk. Just went into the negative territory, just closed all the way down. It was, I think the Dow was up 125 points and ended up closing down a few points.
Yeah, everything was down.
Yeah, this is ahead of the Fed minutes that are coming out. This is a report that is about a month old, and they release it a month later. So we see what each of the various Fed chiefs and chairmen and various folks in the Fed were thinking about the economy, their rate thoughts, in terms of when they're going to raise rates, any commentary.
The philosophical exercise.
Yeah. Now, of course, if they come out with here's what's going to happen. So now, if they're pretty hawkish, in other words, if there's a lot of people in the minutes that said, we really need to start raising rates in June. Well, that's going to be discounted because, well, that's backward-looking data. Now, if they said, well, we're going to hold it off for a while, of course, that's right. That's reasonable. That's what we think, and that's appropriate for the current time. It's the same thing goes round and round and round, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, scam. Yep, and the European stocks have been the biggest scam yet. European stocks are headed for the highest close since 2000. Markets reopened on Monday after the Easter holiday, and boom, things just really rocketed after some central bank discussion from China, from the fact that the weak U.S. jobs number looked very good from a buying standpoint. And it's pretty interesting how Europe is really reacting. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. The Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ, kind of in the, you know, flirting around with the 0/up couple percent line for the year. Do you know how much Germany is up for the year?
No.
23%.
Wow.
And I think better than that is the Italian index is up some ridiculous amount as well. Maybe Italian's up 23, Germany's up 18, something like that. It's just up a lot in the current year. And all that is due to the fact that all this excess stimulus is going on. And the you know, well, the Germans are getting
boosted our markets, too, when it was going on here to an extreme.
Yep.
Usually, coincidentally with that stimulus, I would expect the euro to be weaker. It seems to be hanging in there at 108.
Yeah, it did. As a matter of fact, yesterday it clipped 110 on the upside.
Yeah.
And then started falling down again. And that's been good for...
I expect it to fall further. Yeah, it's got to.
Yeah, we'll see. After tomorrow, there'll be some talk with how the Fed is interpreted in terms of their... I'm so sick of the Fed, but it's just the way it is. Kind of something you have to just deal with, I guess. Just over and over, it's just too much of it. You know?
Yeah, it's almost like daily.
Yeah, too much vanilla ice cream after a while. Just, you know, too much. Chocolate. Peanut. Mm. Never too much peanut butter ice cream.
Never had that.
You never had peanut butter ice cream?
No, never.
How about
never
like a, how about like a chocolate peanut butter kind of thing?
Or well, I can see you having peanut butter ice cream with some chocolate syrup. That'd be kind of tasty.
Yeah, or chocolate ice cream with big Reese's in it.
One of my favorite ice creams is pumpkin.
Really?
Yeah, I just like pumpkin.
Hmm. So it's like
it only comes out during the holidays, mostly around Halloween and maybe until Thanksgiving.
They keep the demand up that way. You know, you're thinking about it.
There used to be a shop that decided to close up in 89 that was one of the best shops in the Bay Area called McCallum's. And they made, during seasonally, they made the best pumpkin ice cream I've ever had. And they also paired it with licorice ice cream as a Halloween treat. It was the licorice ice cream was killer.
Black licorice, that flavor.
Yeah.
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 So would you put the pumpkin ice cream on an apple pie or on a pumpkin pie?
I think with a pumpkin pie, it'd be dynamite.
That's something good. Well, oil is getting excited. It seems that the Saudis made an announcement over the weekend that they're raising prices on select countries. They renegotiated their deal with China.
Countries.
Yeah. You in China, you're going to be up by 10 cents a barrel. And you guys over here, yeah, you're going to be about even. And oil started to run up with the excitement that, oh my gosh, they're going to maybe do something about this price drop. So oil ran up to about 54 today and then backed off. It's about $53 a barrel right now with the inventories coming out tomorrow. We'll see what happens. I actually was long oil into yesterday and made probably about 15-16% on it in the last, I don't know, 5 days, 4 days. And then I went short towards the end of the day today as it was really creeping towards $54, getting to the high point of the range.
That's what it looks like. It's going to trade between 44 and 53, 54.
Yeah, exactly. So try to. That's a good strategy a lot of times to play that range until one side breaks. Now, you usually get hurt if you're playing that one side and you're on the wrong side and when the break happens. But hopefully you've played enough on the inside that there's enough money to be made that that's not a big deal.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, that's my job. That's what I do. So FedEx has agreed to take over Dutch rival TNT Express, one of Europe's...
You know, I didn't know TNT was Dutch.
What do you think it was? Just European or something?
No, I thought it was American.
TNT Express. Hmm. Yeah, you.
I mean, I thought it was. I don't mean it's Dutch, obviously, because this is what all the reports say. But why would I? I was always thinking it was some American operation.
Maybe it was an American operation, but it was bought by the Dutch.
Oh, that could be. Remember Ryder? That's another one that disappeared.
Yeah, down here. They were down here, Ryder Logistics, Ryder Trucks.
Yeah,
They're not around anymore?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I've never heard of them being around. I thought they just disappeared.
They may have. They were a big company down in Doral, where they play a lot of golf and a lot of golf tournaments. As a matter of fact, there was recently the Doral Ryder Cup. It used to be called the Doral Ryder Cup. I don't know what it's called now.
Hmm.
This is the first year, actually, in a while that I haven't gone to the tennis tournament down in Miami.
That's what tennis tournament?
Well, it used to be called the Lipton. Now, I'm not sure what it's called. But
named after the actress Peggy Lipton?
No, I think it was Lipton Iced Tea, the Lipton company. And I'm not sure what it was called. Now it's, I don't know. It's at Key Biscayne. Lovely facility. Hot as molasses. I mean, hot. You sit there, and if you're on the wrong side of the stands, oh, my. That was a little rough.
Good.
Yep, my rig seems to be going out, in and out.
Again.
Yep, I didn't do anything there. I'm just talking, doing my thing, and there it goes. Now it sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what to do about this thing. Okay, let's see. Oh, here we go. Ready? You know Bojangles, the crispy fried chicken joint?
No.
You don't know about that?
I don't know that I've ever seen one.
Another IPO of a chicken joint.
How many chicken joints do we need?
I'm just so tired of the IPOs of the chicken joints and these, you know, fast food things. You got the Shake Shack, and you got it's just enough already. And what's the other one? It's it's kind of a healthy food place. They came out with a secondary tonight, as a matter of fact. Do I have it on my screen? I don't have it on my screen. There's a lot of companies like this that are coming out. It's kind of becoming a chicken bubble.
Chicken bubble.
Yeah, it's just enough. It's you got to go ahead for that.
The bird flu will take a big hit. They have to kill a million chickens, millions of chickens.
Yeah.
And wonder what would happen then.
Yeah, well, these places won't do well. But and I don't know if Chipotle is serving pork again. Remember they were having that ban on pork for a while because they were upset how they were slaughtered?
Yeah.
We used to have a place. I don't know if I told you this. We used to go down to Long Island City into the slaughterhouses. And there was my friend's
what
dad.
For?
I don't know. My friend's dad would take us to watch how the pigs are slaughtered. I'm like, I'm not sure if I want to take a bat and beat this pig's head in. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But it was fun for them, I guess.
Hmm.
Strange people.
Were these mobsters?
Maybe. Could have been. You know, when I grew up in Long Island, there was a lot of Jews, Italians, and Irish. And do you remember some of those, you know, movies that took place in Long Island with all the, you know, coke dealers and all that stuff and that whole 1970s, 80s kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of where I lived.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. And there was one of my friend's father who's never came home one night. And rumor had it, it was cement boots.
Oh, God.
Yep. So, anyway. Alcoa is going to be kicking off earnings season next week, or actually this week.
I've heard this before.
Yeah, this week. Oh, you have?
Yeah, Alcoa. Once every 3 or 4 months they do this.
It happens. It's a crazy thing. And they're going to be kicking off earnings season. There's an expectation of about 26 cents per share, which is about triple a year ago, but down about 5 or 6 cents from last quarter. And the stock has been kind of floating lower and lower. Usually what we find is with Alcoa, it comes up into earnings, gets a nice bang, and then floats down. This time, it's been floating down. So I'm going to take the opposite in our game on this. We'll talk about that in a second, in a little while. So
you're going to go long on Alcoa?
Yeah, into earnings. I mean, there's all this. Listen, there's so many excuses out there, right? Everything's an excuse. You got an excuse that why earnings are good, why economics are good. I'm figuring, you know what? No matter what comes out, it's probably going to be good. They come up with some kind of, you know, crappy earnings reason, to some kind of a currency constant deal and some BS, and, you know, they'll push shares up.
Huh.
I wouldn't do it with my real money.
Oh, okay.
No, definitely not with my real money.
You put it on the list, too.
It's going on the list. That's where it's going.
Oh.
That's where the only place that it's worth doing anything with is for that stock. So I'm not sure how you feel about this. You got to tell me what you think about this. So there was a news item, and I'm not sure why this is news. But there's a new stock index that's debuting. Now, this seems to me to be the work of someone looking for some marketing play. Came up with a stock index that tracks the performance of companies developing cancer immunotherapies. It's called the Lone Car Cancer Immunotherapy Index. And this Lone Car, Lonker, is this guy's name. It's not like a single automobile.
So he made a index at and named it after himself.
Yeah. So it's an equal weighted basket of 25 farms.
Dvorak Tech Index.
I got one. I got the Dvorak Horowitz Bull Index. It's a constituents are going to be an equal weighting of companies involved in the meat business. Shake Shack, Hormel, Pinnacle Foods, Tyson. The Bull Index.
Why not?
Yeah. And D8.
How do you profit from owning or running an index?
It's funny you mention that because I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, what is this guy's point? First of all, he's equal weighting all these companies, right? So there's no magic in this. It's not like he's saying,
has to be magic or you're just barking. Anyone could do it.
Yeah. I think that maybe he's going to try to make an ETF out of it one day. But then again, he puts all the information about what companies that are on there on his website. The weightings of the particular stocks.
It only drops out for a second.
Yeah, well, that's because I have to turn the unit off and on.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like the unit loses power or something. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, I'm not going to get one of those things.
I gotta replace this thing. Anyway, sometimes it works forever, and then just, I don't know, maybe it's late at night. It's concerned.
Jinxed.
So I'm thinking that maybe he wants to come up with a... I'm thinking that he wants to come up with some kind of a way of marketing this. And the only way, I could think about is that maybe he's going to come up with an ETF or sell it to somebody. You know, sell it to, I don't know what he's going to do with it. It's kind of stupid. I'm dead.
Who would
again.
Buy,
I'm
go, who I'm would going buy dead such again. A thing? Sorry? Oh, there you go again.
You know, the problem is I just banged my mic and I came back on. So it's like something's going on with the gate or something like that. This is just this thing. I can't do this anymore. I got to. You know, I love this little unit, but I think it's time to go. Time Sounds to trash like it. I don't know. I mean, he's going to maybe make an ETF and try to sell it to somebody and whatever, but I don't know what the point of it is. It's such a refined index that he's making. You know,
how would you sell it to somebody? Who would buy it? You can just make your own.
Well, if
it's
you
not
want
a make buy decision, like let's buy his index, which is shown right here as his list of stocks. Because we're too stupid to do this without ourselves? Is that what the...
Maybe he's, you know, he's trying to make the name popular. I don't know. The name's worth something. The loan car.
Oh, we can do that. We can get that far.
Yeah, exactly. DH Chicken Fund Index. The Bull Index and the...
I'm liking it.
Yeah.
So the DH Chicken Fund.
There's plenty to go in there. There's plenty. I mean, we got all the... You know, the seed companies and food companies. We have agriculture we could put in there. We get all the Pollo Loco, you know, now Bojangles, Tyson Foods, all this crap. It's got to be some other poultry in there somewhere of poultry companies. Who else does
Liberty
poultry?
Duck.
It's got to be more than that, too. What other, like, not a Taco Bell.
I don't know, New York Goose Fat Company.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Perfect. That'll be a combo Chinese restaurant. Let's see what else we got here. China's stocks rose to the highest level since March of 2008, led by technology and industrial companies. Do you know that the Chinese Shanghai Index is up 90% in the last 12 months?
No, that's a lot.
Tremendous. No bubble there.
There's got to be a bubble.
Yeah, well, there is. It's kind of interesting because... Traders opened 1.7 new A-share accounts in the week ended March 27th. Margin traders increased holdings of shares purchased with borrowed money on Friday last week, with the outstanding balance of margin debt in the Shanghai Index rising about 1% to a record $170 billion on margin.
Wow.
And understand something. Let me read this again to you. Traders opened 1.7 million new A-share accounts in the week ended March 27th.
What's an A-share account?
It's the Shanghai. It's like it's the Shanghai Index. It's for locals. Okay. That's unbelievable. All right. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, this is a bubble.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But and what's interesting is their economy has never been in worse shape.
Perfect. What more could you ask
yeah,
for?
Exactly. All right, let's see what else we got here. Rand Paul is officially running for president.
Yeah, I watched his speech.
How was it? Tell me, is this your guy?
No, this guy's hopeless. Well, he promised a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of Obama promises. You know, when Obama first, before he got elected, he promised You know, he's going to close Gitmo. First thing he's going to do is close Gitmo. The first thing he's going to do is stop all these wars. You know, you can take that to the bank, all these comments. And this Paul's doing the same thing with making all kinds of promises.
Audit the Fed had to be somewhere in there.
No, the Fed wasn't mentioned, actually. It was mostly about surveillance. We're going to stop it. And some other things.
Stop surveillance?
You know, my favorite thing about the Fed is that his dad, who's the big anti-Fed guy.
Yeah.
Ron Paul. He's always moaning about the Fed. And then he gets to be the head of the banking committee and once the Republicans take over the House. And he gets promoted to the head of the banking committee. And he says, now we're going to audit the Fed. We're going to do this. And if you remember anything happening?
Nothing has. No, nothing.
I mean, he's not in anymore, but nothing happened as far as I could tell at all.
Nope.
These guys are just a bunch of liars.
Hot air balloons full of hot air. But why is that? I mean,
I think a lot of it goes like, I think the model or the scheme goes like this. You're shaking your fist and you say, hey, we got to do this, we got to do that. And then you become an insider and they say, here's why you can't do these things. And they actually have reasons. Says, well, because the Fed is actually audited in a certain kind of a way anyway. And you can't do this and you can't do that. And this is mostly just private meetings between the guys. And you can't do any of this stuff. And then here's the reason. If you do that, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. And you come back going, God, all these horrible things are going to happen if I go ahead with my plans.
Right.
Which is why I think Obama got talked out of closing Gitmo.
And well, so after he left, how many people off?
He left a lot of people off. But most of them, I'm guessing that most of them serve a purpose in some way, shape, or form by not being there. Whatever the case, these guys, it seems like you can talk a big game until you get into the game. You get into it. It's like you're not, well, if I was the coach of the football team, I'd have done this and that. And if you were the coach, you wouldn't have done anything. So
the problem with auditing the Fed is that the Fed is supposed to be an independent, absolutely independent of Congress, so there's no sway over over anything that they do. They can pretty much run a free hand without any politics.
Right. That's what it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to go in there and threaten to fire, you know, these guys or anything. You have to let them do their own thing. If you're going to subscribe to the system, I'm not a big – I don't see a problem with the system. I think it works fine. It's kept us out of a huge depression this decade, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it kind of got us in and then took us out.
Well, the argument that they got us in, I don't believe that either. I think that we got in by, you know, lax supervision of some things that had nothing to do with the Fed.
Which is their job, by the way.
It was the banking system.
No. It is their job.
There's a bunch of things.
Yeah, but the Fed's job is to oversee the banking industry. That is the whole arm of it.
Well, I know, but they don't make the they can't legislate.
Right, but they have – right now the banks are overseeing basically all the things that can be done by the banks.
This is true, but when the Glass-Steagall was repealed, which has kept the commercial banks away from the investment banks into separate entities, and that was repealed by Clinton, what's the Fed going to do about that?
I agree with you that someone in – it was an infinitely stupid move to remove Glass-Steagall. I mean, that was a giant faux pas.
And the joke of it is, if you listen today to these people that want all these banking reforms and you bring it up and say, well, why don't you just put Glass-Steagall back in place? They all say, oh, no, we can't do that. There's no reason for that. That's not the problem. And when it clearly is. But, okay, they let them run the country into the ground. I don't care.
Well, oh, God.
Well, I do care, but I don't. Yeah, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, and if you care, but if you did care enough, it would drive you crazy. That's the that's the problem.
You just have to work with what you got. Well, you said this before. You said it's very difficult to work in the industry you're in when the government is pulling too many strings behind the scenes, and you don't know what stock's going up, we're going to go up and down normally because it's regulated in various or messed with or
manipulated.
The word I think you used.
Massaged.
Massaged.
It's just massaged to a point where that you know, I tell you, I've been listening to No Agenda. That would be Adam Curry would put a massage lingo in there somewhere. Not a lingo, a
jingle.
Jingle, yeah. It's being massaged.
We get all those jingles from listeners.
Is that where it is?
And producers. Yeah. We don't really design jingles. The people just send them in by the gross load.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very impressive. We have a lot of talent out there. It's
and I like wild. That. Oh, man, this microphone is really, this is just failing.
You're going to have to fix this.
Yeah, I will.
At some point.
I'm going to do a little.
I told you about that other device that I thought might be appropriate because it's cheap.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that. You know, who is that guy that does those funny voices?
The guy who shouts?
Yeah.
That's John Fletcher.
That's quite interesting.
You want him to shout Horowitz?
Oh, could he? Is he with you?
I'll slip that in. We're actually, it's actually requires a certain specific donation.
Oh, whatever it is.
Whatever.
More than cufflinks, huh?
Yeah. Well, maybe the cufflinks will count as a part of it.
John had a birthday this week, by the way. It was very exciting. It was on Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
And the world didn't collapse when that collided with your birthday, that whole at once every however many years. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a coincidence that it happens when it happens, because I've got this chart on when Easter falls, where it falls. It falls anywhere between March 22nd and April, late April. And it just randomly, it's all over the place based on some equinox calculation.
Mm. Well, let's talk about, I thought this would be a great headline for today. Ready? The headline reads, "The White House is in the dark." Did you see what went on today?
Yeah, I guess they lost power.
Yeah, they lost power. I'm thinking,
and it's all a mystery. Nobody knows why.
No,
what's the company that services that area?
Pepco, the Washington area, D.C. area.
Pepco.
Provider. Pepco. PEPCO.
Huh.
Which is Pepco? Pepco. Philadelphia Electric.
Did it not go down?
I don't think so. Probably not. It's being massaged.
Went up.
Yeah, probably went up because they're saving money. They don't have to provide power. But the backup generator came on immediately. First of all, I don't understand something. This seems a little strange to me. In the Washington, D.C. area, a lot of areas today were affected by this blackout of sorts, right? You had the University of Maryland, the College Park, and the Capitol, the Justice Department, State Department, all these places. Why is the White House and some of these other places on a different grid? How come they're all together? That doesn't seem right.
They're not on a different grid, or they are on a different grid?
They obviously are on the same grid because they all went out.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I mean, in my area, I happen to be on the police department's grid.
Oh.
And rarely goes out.
Right. So they have no reason why this happened. The weather. It was the weather.
It rained.
It had to be the weather. I told you about the fact... You know, some places rain is a major event. I was once in Hawaii, and you know, we're traveling, doing our thing. We get to Hawaii and it starts raining. That's it. Airlines are grounded. the puddle jumpers from island to island. Have you been to Hawaii?
Oh yeah, lots of times.
Yeah, great place.
It's close to California, so it's not really hard to get to.
Right. So they ground to halt. So maybe there was some kind of rain or something going on. But anyway, the good news is that the backup generator came on immediately and power quickly returned to the White House. And by the way, why was there any gap in the time period from the power going out to the generator kicking on to actually power the White House? Why was there any time period the White House was out of power?
There shouldn't be ever.
I don't understand any of this.
Generally speaking, in an environment like that, you have these enormous backup batteries that
right.
are monstrous.
And right.
The companies that make them are mostly in Europe, and then you have a turbine, usually a jet engine kind of thing, and the power goes off. The battery comes on immediately, with like in a split second, so a computer won't even have time to reboot. It stays the same. The generators come on and pick up the slack, and then they produce they run it through the battery, which uses that as a power conditioner, just like a UPS on your computer. So you never have this problem. So that happening is pretty screwy to me.
Yeah, I don't understand any of this. The whole thing
doesn't make sense.
None of the whole story makes any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
So maybe somebody just went around, pulled the plug. You know, there was somebody visiting the White House and kicked a plug, and that's it.
Tripped.
Yeah. went out. Or maybe...
what's this switch do?
And maybe the first lady was blow-drying her hair, dropped in the sink, the whole thing shorted out. Who knows?
That could be.
You know? Now, I don't know if you know this, but Turkey had a ban on... actually, we could put that probably in... You know, we could probably put the Turkish stock market into our fund, since it has somewhat of a chicken flavor to it.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So Turkey will be included along with the other poultry that's in our fund that we'll be making. Turkey banned Twitter, Facebook, and other social media. Did you know this?
Oh, do I know this? I'm trying to think.
They lifted it recently.
I don't think I know this.
I don't know why they did so.
I thought this was something they did a while ago.
It was just lifted.
Well, oh, it was just lifted. Okay, now I did know that they put it in place. I didn't know it was lifted.
Yeah. Do they think that people won't do alternative proxies so they can get on this stuff? Or how's this work?
Well, it's
that stupid?
No, it's always assumed that how many people in the general public know how to do that or care to do it? They just won't do it. It's too much work.
What do you mean? You just go on and file alternative proxies and you put a U.S. proxy?
You're talking in Martian to most people when you're just saying what you just said. Yes.
You got to admit, once you know what it is, it's easy.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not hard at all.
You know, you just go to Mega Proxy or Proxy whatever and just find a proxy and type it into your proxy server where that little button is on your phone or on your computer. And your computer, everybody thinks that you're coming from somewhere else. So no longer you're coming from Turkey. When I was in China, I did that so that I can get through to certain places.
Surprised there wasn't a knock on the door.
Yeah. There is actually, this is another story that I was looking at. Let's see what this is. China is now, here it is. A crackdown in China. China will keep records on uncivilized behavior by its tourists for up to 2 years. Now, you can read this a couple different ways, by the way. But the country's tourism agency said on Tuesday to combat a spate of incidents abroad in recent years, which is said to be reflected badly on the country's image. So at first, when I read this, I thought it was like, okay, I'm going to China, and I'm going to stand in some particular venue that maybe has a statue of some important leader and put my finger up his nose and take a picture, right? You know what I mean? And then post it somewhere, and now I'm a tourist in China, and I'm...
Yeah, but isn't this for the Chinese?
Yeah.
Tourists?
Right, exactly.
When they come to the United States, if they do that.
Right, so...
How would you be able to track them down? They're not that good at spying over here.
First of all, you have to identify that they're Chinese, right? That they're standing in front of, they're standing at Mount Rushmore, and they kind of have one of those moments where it looks like the heads are the same side as your head, and you got your tongue in Grover Cleveland's mouth, or whoever is up there, right?
Grover Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, that's fine. So, or you put your finger up the nose like that, even though it's far away, it looks like it's right there, right? And somehow somebody's going to have to find this on some social media site and know that this person is Chinese from China, and then what?
I don't know. I mean, if I was one, it'd be a fun thing to have to do all day, just search around goofy pictures.
Right, then you got to know, are they Chinese?
No, it's impossible.
Are they a little bit of Vietnamese?
Just
no,
big
too tan.
Talk. It's big talk.
Right. So they're very concerned about this. Now,
the other good one is I wonder if they would count if you do that picture where you're at the Leaning Tower of Pizza.
Pizza.
And you're standing there, looks like you're holding it up.
Ah, yes.
You put your arm up, you know, and you get this, so it's a, you know, so the focus is not, there's no depth of field, and so it looks like you're holding up the Tower of Pisa.
So would that be something that would be a uncivilized behavior, or is that actually helpful? Because the darn thing's falling down.
Because you're holding up the tower.
Yeah.
What's he doing? He's holding up the tower. That's fine.
Yeah, that's good. So they're going to crack down on this and keep its tourists for 2 years. So I guess it's going to scare the hell out of the Chinese from, I don't know, mooning. Streaking, doing some strange and unseemly things on various pictures. And the whole thing is, it doesn't say they're going to find them or anything like that. And it would seem like that if they were caught doing something that was illegal, that would be something different. But I guess they're going to, maybe they're going to, you know what? If really at the end of the day, what this really is, they're probably sending people here, they're going to get on and then give them rewards for messing up, you know, all things American.
Well, maybe in the future.
Okay, I can't.
There must be some feedback or something coming back to China about unruly Chinese tourists, but I've never seen one.
No, neither have I. They're burning up the land. All right, let's see here. Okay, here you go. Here's an interesting story. And then I got a quiz for you, by the way. The SEC has alleged that the former New York Giants cornerback Will Allen operated a Ponzi scheme that involved making loans to pro athletes who need money while they wait to get paid under their sports contracts. So here you got an athlete who I guess maybe is either broke or is new, and they're waiting for some kind of payment from their contracts. And he's saying, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start a pool of money, and we're going to loan it. We're going to give it to...
So it's kind of an ad-libbed payday loan?
Yeah, exactly.
For athletes?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a million.
Yeah. And so what happened was, though, he got greedy, and he started to take money out of the pool where he gathered all this money from various investors and spent it on himself, and then took more money in to pay out the different funds to investors and or to the loans to the people. They couldn't help themselves.
I think some people are just can't not do a Ponzi scheme.
It's just...
Look at all this money I've got. I think I'll just spend
it. Just take a little bit, just a small amount, a little taste. You ready for your quiz?
Yep, I'm ready to go. You got a quiz here?
I'm thinking that maybe it's my microphone. Hello? Testing. Testing. You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, but it's still, I don't know. It's just, if the problem is that it just cuts out.
Did you change the cable?
I changed the cable twice.
Okay.
And I could hear it kind of going in and out a little bit now. I don't know, maybe it's me, but when I tap on the microphone, it's like the gate is all screwed up. But I sent it back to these guys. They tested it. It says everything's perfect. I don't even have
maybe it is the microphone. You just send it back to them. They'll give you a new one.
Maybe I'll send it back to Hot. You know what I did? I bought a hammock from Amazon. It came in. I put it on my hammock stand, and it was laying on the ground. It was too long. So I wrote to Amazon. I said, I want a refund on this because it's defective. It's too long. Okay? So they said, well, we'll write to the company, and the company will get back to you. The company got back to me today and said, oh, we're sorry to hear about your defect. Please, accept our apologies. We will refund you all your money, but please do not send back the product because obviously it's defective. How do you like that?
I've had this happen, especially through Amazon, more than once. They sent me a, because I think at some point they do a calculation that they have to restock it.
Right.
They have to ship it back, and they make the calculation that it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And so they just tell you to, and this, by the way, I think has happened to my son.
But this is not Amazon. This isn't Amazon. This is
it was the company.
The company, yeah.
Yeah, but this, well, maybe I'm suggesting that a lot of people are doing this. I know Amazon does it. Amazon often says, I got a cover for a Kindle. And the thing was not what I expected. It was crap. And so I said, I don't want this. And they said, okay, I will just credit your account. And they said, don't keep the product. So I kept it.
And just keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. I still think I'm coming in way too low. See, it's... Hello? See, when I do that, everything goes back to normal. Oh, it's so
sounds weird. The same to me.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I can see the levels. I can see what's going on here. It's a disaster. All right, here we go.
It's a disaster.
We have a drum. I have one sound effect.
Play it. That's the sound effect you play after the quiz.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here's the quiz. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
This is only for you. Here's a quiz. Here we go. Question number one. This is all about the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Okay, and I'm not cheating.
You can't because I left some of the numbers off. I give you hints, okay, but I took them off. All right, you could cheat, I guess. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was created by Dow Jones and Company in what year? And I'll give you a hint. It started in the 1800s.
Yeah, 1856.
No. No.
What?
1896.
That's what I meant, 1896.
You were close with the six, so I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
I need a sound effect for, like, good. I need the kazoo or something. Okay. The Dow Jones Industrial Average broke above 1,000 for the first time ever in 19...
I actually remember this happening because it kept bumping into the 900s and it kept running to make 1,000. When it made 1,000, it made a run. I believe it to be 1978.
71.
I knew that.
You were close.
Yeah, 1971. That's
1971. What I meant. Ugh, the sound is just killing me. Hello.
Banging into this product is not a good thing.
That's not good either? Just whacking around is no good? Okay, here's the next question. See, I could see that it went up pretty good there. Okay, Dow Jones the Dow Jones Industrial Average topped 5,000 on November 21st of?
1998.
Oh, you're batting a zero here. 1995.
No, what is it?
95.
Yes, that's what I said.
It must be the microphone, huh? My microphone. All right. The Dow Jones Industrial Average exceeded 10,000 for the first time on, for the first time on March 19th, 1999. You're right about that.
Close enough.
And it broke down below for the first time since it went up, went up above 10,000. And then went.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
In October 6th of 2000 and?
I would guess 2.
Oh, come on. Come on. You know this one.
I do?
Yes, of course.
2001?
8.
Oh.
Right when the thing just...
That one, I admit, I didn't know.
All right. There are 30 companies in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I should have probably put that. In the Dow Jones 30, how many companies are there?
30.
Yeah, okay, good. For example, the most recent company that was added was...
Apple.
Correct. And that replaced...
Oh, it was like Exxon or Standard Oil or General Motors or some big company.
AT&T.
Yes.
Now, this one you probably know. I'm sure you know. The oldest Dow Jones industrial component, the oldest company in the Dow Jones, which was added in 1907, was what company?
Well, let's see. 1907.
And that means they're still there.
Yeah. Ford?
No.
Let me guess again.
Let me think about that. Ford would have been...
United States Steel.
No. U.S. Steel is still around, but it's not in there. Is Ford, were they around in 07?
I think they started around 07.
Hmm. Okay.
Wait, let me guess again.
Yeah, I think. You'll get this one. It's a big one.
Standard Oil.
Standard Oil, it's not even around.
Well, it was...
So in other words, it's currently in the Dow Jones also today. Okay.
It's in the Dow Jones 30. It was right. If I look at the Dow Jones 30, I'll be able to pick it out. You got to give me
good.
That.
Okay, go ahead. Look at that's good.
I'll be able to nail this.
There's so many people out there probably now screaming.
I'm sure there are
screaming into their headphones or into their car because they're pulling over.
This is a form of trivia that people like to. Oh yeah, I went this day and that day.
Yep.
All right, let's look at the. Where are we here? Okay, we got.
Oh, I heard somebody. It came through. They were screaming so loud, I heard them.
3M is one of them. American Express, Apple. Okay, we can go through these. 3M, not.
Okay. Yeah.
American Express, no way. Apple's new. We know that. Boeing wasn't in business.
Nope.
Caterpillar, no, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Chevron, which it seems to me that it would be it, but okay. Cisco, yeah, right. Coca-Cola, no way. DuPont, no way. It's old, but not that old. ExxonMobil, another company. General Electric, obviously.
Yep, there you go. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
General Electric added November 7th, 1907, the oldest Dow Jones industrial component. So we're talking about 107 years?
Yeah.
107 years.
Seems dated.
Yeah, that's an oldie. A lot of companies have been in and out. A lot of companies have gone through the process of either being bought, sold, or out of business.
Then the last question should be, which company has been in and out of the Dow Jones more than any other company?
I don't even know. I wonder.
No, there you go.
I wonder if they bring them back. I mean, a couple of years ago, they had some companies that, I think Alcoa was in there. They're out. That's why Alcoa is so important. Alcoa was always in the Dow Jones, and they kicked off earnings season as the big.
Ah, and it started the trend.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's just a schmendrick.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see what else we had. Good job. It kind of, not really.
I only missed one.
Okay. Are we going to do the closest to the pin again?
I don't know what that, I keep forgetting what closest to the pin was.
I don't know why we did it like this. It was some golf thing. It was a reason why we did this. Closest to the number, we had the audience participate with us and they chose the stock price and all
somebody
that.
Somebody won. And
we gave all sorts of great prizes away and things like that.
I don't remember that part.
Really?
Yeah, great prizes.
Yeah, well, we gave away thousands and thousands of Zimbabwe dollars. You don't remember?
No, the $1 trillion Zimbabwe note.
Yeah. Hey, remember we talked about Venmo? Venmo. They're the payment processor that is kind of like the PayPal thing, and it's with your iPhone / smartphone. And it's like, okay, hey, John, you know what? I'm going to pick up the pizza tonight, and I'll pay for it. But, hey, hit me back for $10 on my Venmo. You know, you know, that kind of thing going on? So you know that kids are kind of stupid? You know, young people kind of, you know, the, you know, all of us when we were young, we were stupid. So,
yeah, you're always stupid until you're about 50.
So I guess what was happening was people were paying their drug dealers on it.
Nice.
This is true. Drug dealers and customers alike are reporting reportedly fretting since last week's arrest of Columbia University student Michael Getzler, class of 2017, quote unquote, maybe, on what was the Columbia Spectator reports were five drug-related charges. This guy wrote some kind of a paper giving details about publishing, dealing, and just a few days before, but he had allegedly been using digital payment app Venmo to collect money for marijuana and other illegal substances. Hey, dude, give me a nickel bag and pay me on Venmo. And I guess he was probably given a receipt back. What's it for? A dime bag. You know, I mean, what's he putting down in the Venmo? You know, or the other people, who are you paying? My dealer. You know, I mean,
people, well, that's probably how it actually worked.
I'm sure.
That's what he said. The kids said, well, I don't see what's the big deal.
Right.
Since I'm using Venmo, it's got to be legal.
Right. It's got to be also private.
Yeah.
So all these guys were getting paid with that. And I guess it was a good way if you're going to a party and you want to split the cost of your drugs and of your lewds or whatever you're doing.
I don't think too many people are doing lewds.
Not anymore. Now, what do the kids do now? They do this ecstasy.
Yeah.
And Molly, something.
That's still ecstasy.
Oh, it is? Yep. All right, let's see what else we have here before we get to the stock. Oh, you know about this stuff.
I know the jargon. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use those things. They suppress the they're one of your endocrine systems or your uptake, your serotonin uptake. It interferes with it. And this is dangerous. All those drugs will make you stupid and actually emotionless at some point if you keep taking them too much.
Really?
Yeah, serotonin uptake's a real, you don't want to screw with it.
Mm. All right, let's take a look at the stocks before my microphone goes out again. How's that?
Sounds good.
Let me get to the stocks here. Okay. And this is a game that we play. This is not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities, and we just have fun with this, picking up different, wow, look at that stock. Now that, look at that. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. It's pretty amazing. We pick some stocks we think that may go up, the different reasons why, give a little bit of education behind it. Sometimes it's a high flyer, sometimes it's something else. But we'll track that for you on the official DH Unplugged stock picking list that you can find over at dhunplugged.com. And of course, we'll make sure that if either myself or John C. Dvorak or clients of Horowitz Company own this, we will put a disclosure there. So why don't you go through the list? I mean, some of these are the same. I mean, we really haven't had much on or off.
No. The top ones are still there. You know, a lot of good gains here. TransDigm, Zotys, 40. That's the winner. And the top one still is the Screwball one, which I think is Screwball, even though I picked it. Walgreens Boots Alliance is up 41%. It's a disappointing Panera Bread, your all-time favorite.
Yeah,
you love to go in and out of that thing. You're losing.
Have you gone there yet? You said you were going to go.
No, but I'm going to go. You know, I realized I've already been to one.
Oh,
some years ago, I was driving around maybe. Mm-hmm. I was driving around. I stopped in a Panera Bread for some reason, and looked around. It looked like a Denny's kind of inside to me. And I couldn't see eating there, but I could see buying some bread or a muffin or a croissant.
Oh.
And I think that's what I did. I bought like a Danish or something. They have those, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
And that was that. Mm. So I don't know. I still have mixed feelings. I don't know. Your hatred seems to be...
It's their soup.
I think it's unnecessary.
Really?
You think their soup is that bad?
I was so disappointed. I go in this place and it looks like these beautiful breads and I was so excited. I felt like I was in France for a minute or so there and I'm like, oh, I'll have that soup.
Short minute.
Yeah, and this soup. And I'm like, what did you do? What happened here? Did you just open it? They must have just opened one of those bags. You know, those restaurant industrial bags and just poured it into a pot. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. So your entire investment strategy is based on this crappy soup?
Yes. I've had less.
It's probably as good a reason as any.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this
is. It may have been some individual decision at the particular store, and you better go check the soup again.
I should, especially when got money like this riding on it. You know? By the way, your international business machines is not moving. It just will not do anything.
I know. This is dead money of the worst sort.
It's like, you know that the patient should just be let go, and they won't let it go. Blame Warren Buffett, maybe.
It's not going in. I mean, I'd be happier if it was going up.
Yeah, doing
to
something.
To make a future short look better.
Yeah.
But it's not doing. I have it shorted for anyone who doesn't go to these sites and look at this. I have it shorted in October of last year. I shorted it at 162.41. Since then, which is almost 6 months, it's at 162.07. It went up 9 cents or something.
And this is with horrible.
Oh, no, it went down.
Down, it went down. This down. Is with horrible 30, earnings.
34 cents.
Terrible earnings. This is with a large cap that's international that we know that has headwinds due to currency issues, with terrible management, and with doing things like selling off a company and paying $1.5 billion to the other company to take the company off their hands.
Yeah.
This is just awful.
Yeah.
Just tells you a lot right there. Just that's the microcosm of where we are.
Well, there's another couple of anomalies on here. The one I get a kick. You shorted Apple.
Yeah.
And that's going to go nowhere.
I got 2.5%. Come on. That's a first.
And Mondelez International.
Why can't you say that? Mondelez.
Whatever. Mondelez. Mondelez.
Yeah, that's better.
It's like Hondelez. Nothing. Dead money. It's just dead money. I mean, we should, at some point, maybe in June, we can just
sweep them.
Dump these things. Because if it's dead money, we should have a new rule. If it's dead money for over 6 months.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can pull it if you want to.
Okay.
Because it's still in play. I mean, like my IBM short is still a good idea.
Right.
But if it could be dead money for the next 3 years, eventually it will go down.
Well, we know that after the year, like we did last year, we kind of cleaned the slate. Because otherwise we get all these things.
Before that, we cleaned the whole slate. And it took us a while to get back to scratch because we had some huge winners in there.
Yep. GoPro actually was interesting today. The stock is kind of vacillating around this price right here in the 43 range. And 45 was my number that's like, okay, bells go off, short this darn thing. And what was interesting was today, all of a sudden, stock started moving. I'm like, well, what's going on there? I'm like, oh, somebody's got to be talking about something, an upgrade. I don't know what's going on. Well, the rumor mill. Activist investors getting involved. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, let me think through this for a minute. I'm thinking, you know, all right, because we're short this as well for our portfolios for real money. And I'm like, all right, let me think about this for a second here. Isn't this company a little bit too young to have activist investors involved? I mean, activists can get involved at any time. But what kind of activist investor wants to get involved to do what? Shake up management? Look for a dividend? Look for share buybacks?
None of those things are even possible.
What are they going to do? I'm not exactly sure.
What they're going to do is buy the stock and then announce that they're involved.
Yeah, well, that
let
could
the stock fly up. It's a pump and dump.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, we haven't heard from Icon lately, have we?
But you know he's up to something.
Maybe he's up to the GoPro. He's not even that aggressive enough to do this. I mean, there's just no future in this. No future.
Small potatoes.
All right, let's move along. We have a few more things to do. Your Genosia Biosciences breaking even, right? Or actually down 4%. Lumber Liquidators, remember I bought that because a bounce was possible. It is up 8%. We're going to watch for some more news coming out of there. There was some news that, some crack news that came out, just things like, the EPA did their environmental test, blah, 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 and the formaldehyde was this and that. There's a whole thing, and the stock ramped higher. I'm thinking, wait a minute. The EPA doesn't have jurisdiction over the CARB standards. Somebody's like pulling the wool over our eyes here. You know, I didn't mind because I'm long the stock. But the point was that it was just crap. But the good news is that they are going to look into this company. It's going to take months before they get to, you know, figure out what's going on with this whole formaldehyde situation. And if there really is some kind of leak. Anyway, I got a couple of stocks that I'm going to put on the list. I told you earlier I'm going to put Alcoa just for the heck of it. earnings coming out. I'm going to put a stock on here that is a wild one. Anthera Pharmaceuticals.
Looks like a penny stock to me.
Yep. The 396 is kind of the number that I'll actually look to buy into it. The stock has been as high as, I don't know, 6 and 6.5. It dropped all the way down. It came back. I think that the players that are involved in this want to keep this thing on the books and want to keep this thing over $5 if they can, in order to make sure that the listing standards are kept. And right now it's trading at about 416, a little weakness in the bios last couple of days, biotechs that is. This thing is just one of those names that are out there, absolutely have no good things to say about their fundamentals. Chart looks a little broken also.
Yeah.
But this is just looking for that magic $5 that if you get a little bit of a ride on this thing after a few days down, you can see the thing really start rocketing higher for no other reason but for the joy of the investor that's doing it. You know, this has no fundamental and no redeeming values otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I would think looking at it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yeah, exactly. But we're in a bull market, at least for a little while here. Now, what do you got? You got a couple of things?
No, I got nothing again. This is my second week in a row with nothing.
Blanks. You're shooting blanks here, Dvorak.
Well, I think there's something up because I can't find any good insider action at all. I mean, there's the same kind of, you know, these immunotherapy operations, a couple of them. I've already put into that. A couple of energy companies, but it's sketchy. And I think a lot of them are speculative, and I'm not sure these guys know what they're doing because their track record doesn't look that good to me.
Right.
So I got nothing. I got zero.
All right. Well, we'll end it on that very high note. Thank you very much.
Yeah. There you go.
That's it. That's the extent of my sound effects. That's it. It's a whole, and it's not even on a board. It's in a card that you open up and it makes that noise.
Yeah, I know. You love that thing.
So lame. All right. Well, I will talk to you next week, and hopefully we'll have some more stocks to talk about. You can follow John C. Dvorak over on Twitter at The Real Dvorak.
Yeah, The Real Dvorak. Sign up.
Yeah, and of course, you can listen to the ever-favorite No Agenda show, A Barrel of Laughs. Barrel of Laughs. No, good show. That's on, Thursdays and Sundays? Or
Thursdays and Sundays live at 9 a.m.
Yeah, what is it?
Pacific time.
Yeah, you can hear it live. It's unbelievable.
Yes, go to the noagendashow.com and just check it out.
Noagendashow.com. You want to become a knight and get one. I got to get a ring. I got to get one of those rings. How do you get a ring?
I'll give you a call tomorrow and you get a ring. I see what you mean. You want a knight ring.
A knight ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just sounds so exciting. All the things that you have, shirts and cups and knight rings and sound effects and that guy Fletcher.
John Fletcher. The greatest.
Yeah. all right. And follow me on Twitter as well. Andrew Horowitz, the Disciplined Investor podcast, which airs each and every Sunday in the evening, towards the evening. And otherwise, I'll see you next week, buddy.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.